Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Chav Zayin. We are holding on daf Chav Vavam Beis, three lines from the end of the page. Esve Ravino Le Rava Chav Vavam Beis. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Aleha Shalom. It's also sponsored by Eliza and Zev Belsky, Lizeich Nishmas, Eliza's grandfather, who was Nifter this past Shabbos, Yehoshua Ben Tzvi. Aleha Shalom, Nisham Shem and Aliyah. It is also sponsored anonymously in honor of the Shloshim for Chana Leia Bas Moshe, her Nisham Shem and Aliyah. It's also sponsored by the Shulman children for the yard site of their mother, Linda Shulman, Leia Bas Ephraim, Nisham Shem and Aliyah. And we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are still in the sugya of Neder Shuta Miksasu Hutar Kulo or not Hutar Kulo. And we had this whole discussion. Does it make a difference if when the guy says, oh, had I known that my father was in the group, my brother was in the group, or whatever it is that he was unaware of, then I would have said, does it make a difference whether he would have changed the entire phrasing of his neder or whether he just would have added to the phrasing of his neder? So the Gemara is going to have a couple of more rayos in that sugya, that machlokas between Rava and Rabba, about how to understand the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And that's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah in Amud Aleph is going to talk about Nidre Onsin. It's going to give us examples of Nidre Onsin, meaning we started this parak by saying that there are four types of Nidarim that are Huta Me'aleim, that automatically become Muta. You don't even need to be Matir in a Beis Din or with a Chacham or anything else. And they were Nidre Zruzin, Nidre Havai, Nidre Shkagos, and Nidre Onsin. So we already went through the first three, Mishnah by Mishnah. We went through examples of the first three. So this Mishnah is going to give us three examples of Nidre Onsin. Then the Gemara is going to talk about when a Tanai is fulfilled through an Ones. Is that considered to be a Kiyum HaTanai? Let's say a person makes a Tanai that this should be Chal, like you should be able to destroy this document if I don't come back, or this get should be Chal if I do not return. So and then he doesn't return, but only because of an Ones. So is his not returning, which is a Kiyum HaTanai, that only happens because of some sort of Ones that came up, is that considered a fulfillment of the Tanai? We're going to see whether we distinguish between Dine Mamanis and Dine Nefashos and Nidarim and different levels of Ones, something that's an Ones Gomer that he should never would have thought of, something that's an Ones that he would have thought of. So that's going to, that is going to lead us into a discussion about Asmachta as well, because if a person gives a shtar to Beis Din and says, here's all my proof, and if I don't bring more proof by 30 days, you could destroy that shtar. Doesn't that border on Asmachta? Does he really want to commit? He's just saying that I'm very confident in my ability. He doesn't think it's going to happen, that he's not going to be able to bring whatever rayos he has. So that's going to be the discussion of Asmachta, and that will bring us all the way to the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis. And the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis, which we probably won't get to today, is going to give more examples of Nidre Onsim. So let's begin three lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Chavav Amud Beis. Esve Ravina L'Rava. So Ravina challenges Rava from a brisa. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Yesh Neder Shemuktasu Mutter Umuktasu Aser. Sometimes a person takes a neder and part of the neder becomes mutter and part of the neder remains intact. It remains Aser. Ketzad, what would be an example of such a neder? Nodar Mina Kalkola. A person takes a neder from a basket full of figs that he had in front of him, and then he realizes, V'hayuba B'nos Shuach. He realizes that there are the types of figs that are called B'nos Shuach in that basket. The Mefarish explains that the Benos Shuach is a type of fig that comes up throughout Shas, and sometimes it's called Benos Sheva. That's what the Shidduch Betzes writes as well. The Shidduch Betzes writes that they're called Benos Sheva because their dinim of Shvius, of Shemitah, is different than all other peros. That the peros of Benos Sheva that are Nechnat B'Shvius, that start to sprout in the Shemitah year, are not Nigmar until the Shana Hatshias, until the ninth year. It takes very long for this fruit to fully grow and ripen. So that's what the Mishnah says in the fifth paragraph of Maseches Shavias. The Shidduch Betzes writes that they're called Benos Sheva because Adam HaRishon eight from them, according to the Shita in Sanhedrin Davayin, that the eights that Adam Rishon ate from was in the Eitz Hadas was a Te'ena, and since they caused the Knas of Misa, they're called Benos Sheva because they brought Shivas Yimei Avelus into the world. So they're called Benos Sheva because that's what brought about the concept of Shiva in the world. So that's a suggestion that the Shita Mugetzis has. Okay, whether they're Benos Shuach, Benos Sheva, or they're both of those names, so he didn't realize that this basket of Te'enim has these delicious figs in it. Va'amar, and he said, Ilu Yisi Yodea, Shabino Shuach Betocha Lo Yisi Noder, had I realized that these types of Te'enim were in this basket, these high quality Te'enim were in this basket, I never would have taken an Eder. Tosos Mesech Roshan Adav Tezvav Ambez points out, you see very clearly that Beno Shuach are the best kinds of Te'enim, that they are delicious, and therefore the guy over here says he would not have wanted to take a neder from such delicious fruits. And that's what it sounds like in the Sugi and Shavuos Daf Yudalit as well. Tosos raises the question, though, that in the first paragraph of Demai and also Gemara and Avodah Zarah Daf Yudalit, it sounds just the opposite, that Benos Shuach are the worst type of Te'enim. So which is it? We have conflicting impressions throughout Shas, whether these are the best Te'enim or the worst Te'enim. So Tosos says there are two separate minim. One of them is called Benos Shuach, which is a min garua, and one is called Benos Sheva, which is a really wonderful min, and that's what we're really talking about over here. We use the word Benos Shuach, it's really a typo, it really means to say Benos Sheva, because Benos Sheva are the really good ones, and Benos Shuach are really the bad ones. The Ritva quotes Ramban that no, it doesn't mean over here that he wouldn't have taken the neder because he so loves to eat these te'enim, he would have wanted them because they're so delicious. No, he's saying he wouldn't have taken the neder because it's such a min garua, you don't need to take a neder that you're not going to eat it. Why would I want to eat these? They're disgusting. He would only take a neder for something that's delicious. So this Gemara is not indicating that they are good. It's indicating that they're bad. But either way, he says, had I known that this type of te'ena was in this basket, I never would have taken the neder. So the halach is hakalkala asura, all the other te'enim in the basket remain asur. The neder remains intact. But Benos Shuach Mutaros, these te'enim that he never would have wanted to take the neder, they're going to be mutar. Ad shabar Rabbi Akiva v'limeid, until Rabbi Akiva disagreed. And he said, neder shutar mutsaso, hutar kulo. That if part of the neder is no longer binding, no part of the neder is binding at all. And therefore, all of the te'enim in the basket are totally mutar to him. So my love isn't the case that we're talking about. The Amar, that after he realized that the Benos Shuach were in the basket, he said, "Ilu Yisi Yodeh Shemino Shuach Betocha." Had I realized that these Benos Shuach were in the basket, the Yisi Omer Te'enim Shchoros Ulevanos Asuros Benos Shuach Mutaros, I would have singled out and identified which ones are going to be asur to me, and identified Benos Shuach as that which would be mutter to me. And so, meaning, I would have changed my entire phrasing. I said initially the entire basket. I would not have said the entire basket except for Benos Shuach. I would have said the Levanos and the Shchoros, but not the Benos Shuach. So, Rabbi Akiva, and it's Rabbi Akiva who holds that Hutar Maksaso Hutar Kulo. Pligi Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan apparently disagree in this brisa and hold that even though Hutar Muktzaso, not Hutar Kulo, even when you change the phrasing entirely, we don't say Neder Shutar Muktzaso Hutar Kulo. So that's a kasha on Rava, because Rava holds that if you're Machlif Devarav, if you would have changed the phrasing, everyone agrees that it's Hutar Kulo. So this is a kasha on the Shita of Rava. Tosos raises the question that why it is that we make this assumption, meaning we're making it never said what his phrasing was when he changed his mind. Why are we making the assumption that his phrasing when he changed his mind was to change the entire way he would have taken the neder? Particularly when you keep in mind what we finished with yesterday, which was a raya from onions, the Gemara assumed as a davar pashut that he said ilu yisi adeh shakuf for yafal alev hayisi omer kol habetzalim asurim chutz mikufri. The assumption the Gemara made is that when he changed his mind, he would have maintained his lashon when it came to onions. All of a sudden, when it comes to figs, the natural assumption is that when he changed his mind, he would have changed his lashon. When he realized what was there, he would have changed his lashon as well. Why by onions do we assume he would have maintained his lashon, and by figs we assume he would have changed his lashon? So Tosus assumes that when it comes to an onion, since he says Kodem Batzal Alai, so it sounds like all of the Batzalim, so it's as if he said Beferish Kodem Kola Batzalim Alai. So the Gemara understood Bepshitos that when he changes his mind, Mistama, he still would have said Kola Batzalim. But when it comes to the Kalkala, he didn't say Kodem Kola Kalkala Alai. He didn't say the entirety of the basket. So the Gemara understood that when he changed his mind, Mistama, he would have said Tenim Shcharus Ulevanos Asurus. He would have singled them out as opposed to keeping the lashon of the entire basket. Okay, whatever the indication was, there was something that gave such an indication to the Gemara. But bottom line is, we have a kasha on Rava, because Rava holds that when you're machlif devarav lukulei alma hutar kulo. And over here in this brisa, it says that even if he's machlif devarav, only Rabbi Akiva says hutar kulo, but the Rabbanan disagree. So says Gemara, love, we're not talking about a case of machlif devarav. It's ba'omer ilu yisiyadeh. The case is that the guy says, had I known shebeno shuach betocha, that there were beno shuach in this basket, hayisiyomer kol hakalkala asura ubeno shuach mutaros, I would have maintained my original lashon neder, and I would have just appended onto the end of the lashon of the neder that the beno shuach are going to be mutaros. And since he's being ma'amid l'shono, he's not being machlif l'shono, the Rabbanan hold like the Beis Shammai that lo hutar kulo, and Rabbi Kiva holds like the Beis Hillel that hutar kulo in such a case, because we look more at the end of his statement, which is chutz b'ibro shuach, and that's considered that he's been mishana devarav. So man tana lad tana Rabbanan, a final raya. Over here we just try to identify who is the tana that holds in the brisa that says as follows. If a person takes a neder against five people all at once, if one of them becomes hutar, they all become mutar. But if he takes a neder from chamisha bnei adam minus one of them, hu mutar vehein asurin. That one is going to be mutar, the rest of them are going to be asur. The Gemara is assuming right now that both in the Reisha and in the Seifa, both of these cases of Nadar Mechamisha Bnei Adam and the case of Chutz Me'echad Mehen, we're talking about a case where initially he was noder from Kul Chem Asurin, that all Chamisha Bnei Adam are going to be asur. It's just that in the Reisha we're talking about that when he changes his mind and he tries to back out regarding one of them, he says, you know, I would have said Ploni or Ploni Asurim, and Ploni is mutter. So even if hutar echad mehem, hutru kulan. And the seifa is when it's maimid dvarav, not when it's machlif dvarav. And he says, oh, if I would have known that I want to be matir one of them, I would have said kulcham asurim, I would have maintained my lashon, and I just would have added on chutz me echad mehem. So even if it's hutar mekzaso, it's not hutru kulos. So that's what the Gemara explains. Who's the Tana that holds that when you're machlif dvarav, it's hutar kulo? And who's the Tana that holds that when you're mamid dvarav, it's not hutar kulo? So the Gemara says, very simple, that it's based on the machlokas Rabba and Rava. Il Rabba, according to Rabba, Reisha Rabbi Akiva, the Reisha that says that when you're machlif dvarav, it's hutar kulo, follows Rabbi Akiva and only Rabbi Akiva, v'seifa, divrei akol. But the seifa that says that when you're mamid dvarav, it's not hutar kulo, that goes like everybody, because even Rabbi Akiva's moda that it's not hutar kulo, the way Rabba understands it. The Rava, and if you're going to assume like the Shita of Rava, Seifa Rabbanan, the Seifa's only going like the Shita of the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Akiva would say, even by Mamid Dvarav it's hutar kulo, Veresha, Divrei Akol, and the Resha is going like everybody, because when you're Machlif Dvarav, everyone's going to agree, hutar mekzaso, hutar kulo, right? That was the whole machlokas, Rabba and Rava. Which case does everybody agree about? Does everybody agree about the case of Maimid Devarav, or does everybody agree about the case of Machlif Devarav? So that concludes that sugya of Neder Shutar Mutsaso, Hutar Kulo. So now we move on to another sugya. So again, we've been going through since the beginning of the parak, four types of nedarim that are mutar me'aleim. You don't even need to go to a chacham or a beis din or anything. The neder simply is automatically hutar. So we said that there's such a thing as nidrei zruzin and nidrei havai and nidrei shkagos, and now we're up to nidrei onsin. So nidrei onsin. What are examples of nidrei onsin? So hidiru chaveru sheyochel etzlo. Someone invites someone to eat a meal at his house, and the invitee asks the host that he should take a neder that if I don't eat by you, that your nechasim should be asr to me. And v'chalahu, o shechalah b'no, o sheik v'nar. And then one of three things happens where he's unable able to come. Either he gets sick, or his son gets sick, or a river prevents him from arriving. Hare elu nidrei onsin. That is called nidrei onsin, that the chamra matir, because he never took the nether al das, that an onus would happen that would prevent him from arriving at the suda. Now these three examples, chalahu, chalabino, ikva nahar, so the Nemuka Yosef explains that it's lozu avzu. Not only if he gets sick is the nether batel, because it's an onus chamur, it's an onus that happens on his guf, but even if chala b'no, which is not something that happens to his guf, it's also considered an onus to be mevatel the neder. And even if the onus is not on anybody's guf, it's only an onus mamon, ikvo nar, where he could pay a lot of money to be able to get a new boat, to be able to go over the river, even that's called an onus, because it was not ola bedas to take a nether in a way that it would have any sort of onus. That's how Nemuka Yosef explains that why it is that we have all three examples in this Mishnah of Nidrei Onsin. So it's also interesting that Chala Beno is an onus, that if his ben becomes sick, that's considered his onus. There's a tshuva in the Chuta Meshulash where he was asked about a minhag of some people that when their son gets sick, after the son has refuah, the father gets up by the Sefer Torah and benches Gomel for the refuah haben. So is that a bracha shein tzricha? Because the bracha was only for the bracha was nitkan for people who went through a dangerous situation themselves, not when someone else went through a dangerous situation. So he brings a raya from Gemara Bracha Staf Nundalin and from the Pirush Harach that other people are able to say a bracha to give hoda'a to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a refuah of a chola. So certainly a father for a son, it could even be by other chola. And then he says, and even if you say that you can't, that one person cannot be cannot bench gomel for someone else's refuah, but a ben is different. A ben is chashuv kegufo and yoser migufo. So certainly they'd agree that a father could be mevarich for a son, and especially a ben katan, where if he would die, it would only be ba'avonav. If the Gemara says in Shabbos Tav Kuf Hey, the Gemara says because of something to do with the father. So and you see that in a lot of places, that it all relates to the father. So his ben katan is like his guf. The misa of the child would reflect on the father more than it does the child. The child's an innocent child, so certainly he should be mevarich. But if he's a ben gadol, and he could be Mivarech himself, and if he would die, it would be Ishbechet Oyumas, it would not have nothing to do with the father. So it could be that if you hold that other people are not allowed to be Mivarech for Gomel, for somebody else, so too a father should not be Mivarech Gomel for the child. And we see that the minhag was only for Katanim. So the minhag is a minhag tov because it was only for Katanim. That's how he says. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of Achronim that a Katan never has to bench Gomel, and it's based on the Magen Avraham. Shari Tshuva writes in the name of Shari Ephraim and the Machzor Bracha that even a father doesn't bench Gomel for the child because it's HaGomel L'Chayavim Tovos Shagomel Yikol Tov L'Chayavim. That implies that they're Chayav in some way. So they're not Chayav, they're children, they're innocent. So the whole bracha, the whole nusach habracha doesn't apply to a child. But anyway, so you see, chala b'no is something that relates directly to the father. A lot of times I find when something happens, when the child is in danger, the parent very much wants to bench gomel, meaning they're very unhappy when you say, no, you don't bench gomel for a child. But usually when you tell them the reason, they're happy about that, meaning, no, the child can't be chayiv, he's an innocent child. The Nesuch HaBracha doesn't work. L'chayavim, the whole Bracha of Gomel assumes that you were chayav, and the child is never considered to be chayav. So you give Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu in other ways. You give a lot of tzedakah, that should be a Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So people would rather make a Bracha than give a lot of tzedakah, but giving tzedakah is a good thing to do also. So says the Gemara, Ha'u Gavra, such is the strength of a person's desire to be Mevarich Hashem, that they'd even rather do that than give tzedakah. So Ha'u Gavra, the Atvis Zachvasa, There was a guy that had a shtar of zechuyos. He had a document that enumerated his zechuyos or his rights to a particular land, and he gave it to Beis Din because he wanted 30 days to gather all of his evidence that he needed for his case. And apparently, he was a flight risk. Beis Din was concerned that he was going to run away. So he gave the star that he had in hand that had all of his rayos. So Amar ilo asina tasin yomin, and he says, if I don't come back within 30 days, libatlan hanizach v'sa'i, so let all my zechuyos become batal. Itnis v'lo asa, an onus happened and he was not able to come within 30 days. So Amar Rav Huna, batal zach v'sa'i, even though it was an onus that prevented him from coming, his zechuyos are batal, because from the time he gave those stars to Beis Din, he never made it t'nai that only if I don't bring my rayos until 30 days without an onus preventing me from coming, then the star should be batal. He never said anything about an onus. He said, if I don't come, and he didn't come. So he fulfilled his t'nai of not coming, and the fact that he didn't amend a rider to that if there was an onus, then it's going to be a different story. So you see that his kavana was that if I don't come, then this is going to be batal regardless of why I don't come. Samlei Rav says Rav Huna, but wait a second, onus who? This is an onus that prevented him. The onus rachmana patre, and the rule in the Torah is that when an onus happens, one is not held responsible for that which is an onus. It's not his fault. It's a total. It's totally beyond his control. How do I know onus rachmana patre? Because the pasuk says when it comes to a nara murasa that was nebuch raped in a field somewhere, so she had a bia asura, so should she be punished for a bia asura? No, the nara lo sasa davar. You don't do anything to the nara. Nebuch, she was raped. It has nothing to. It's not her fault. So we hear also when he was prevented from coming back within 30 days because of an onus, whatever that onus was, so he should not lose out his zuchlios, because it was totally not in his control. So right away the Acharim say, are those two the same? Meaning an onus of a punishment for an avera when you had no control over the avera, where Rachmana Litzlan, a girl was attacked, so she's not going to be punished for an avera. That I understand. Lenaru lo sasa davar. Ah, dide mamanis deal. If I don't come back, so then I'm committing that I won't have rights to that shtar anymore. What does that have to do with an onesh in Beis Din? So some sofer suggests that onesh is not so much about whether it's your fault. It's whether it would have been ola al hadas. That meaning it's a combination of the fact that it's not your fault and that it's something that could have been ola al hadas that you didn't account for. Meaning, we live in a scary world, and unfortunately, you go to any police station, they'll tell you that onus is something that the girls are attacked all the time. So every time a girl goes out alone into in the dark, in a dangerous area, sadly, that's something that has to be in the back of her mind somewhere, that there's always that possibility. So that's the equation that we're making, that the possibility might cross the person's mind that it would happen, and when she goes out, so the possibility of this kind of onus should have crossed this fellow's mind when he said that he's not going to come back within 30 days. Still, the kasha is better than the teretz. But v'chite makat l'shayni, maybe you're going to say that only legabe an onesh misa, which is very chamor, the Torah paters an ones, but by a t'nai, when it comes, that relates to mamon, you're going to be chayiv even when you were not makayim the t'nai as a result of an ones. V'atnan, but our Mishnah tells us that even when it comes to dine mamonis, nidre onsin, hidiru chaver shiyochel etzlo v'chalahu oshachalabna oshikvo nahar hare elu nidre onsin, that our Mishnah says that the neder becomes mutter if there was an onus that prevented the fellow from fulfilling the tanai. So you see that even when it comes to nedarim, when he was prevented from coming due to an onus, the neder becomes mutter because he was not noder al das that this onus would prevent him from attending the suuda. So in this case as well, the guy didn't make a tanai that he's going to lose the shtar zuchuyos al das that an onus is going to prevent him from coming back within 30 days. So when he doesn't come back within 30 days as a result of an onus, he should not lose the zuchuyos. So Ula Rava, so says the Gemara, according to Rava, who holds that if he doesn't come back because of an onus, he does not lose the zuchuyos, meaning we view it as if he did come back, and the deal was that if I don't come back on my own volition, if I don't come back, I lose the zuchuyos. But if it was an onus, he does not lose the zuchuyos. Well, Maishno, why should this be any different? Mehadetanan, from the Mishnah that we had in Maseches Gittin, where a guy gives a get to his wife before he goes out on a trip, and at the time that he gives the get, he makes it tonight, and he says, Hareze Giteich Me'achshav, this should be your get Me'achshav, starting from now, Im Lo Basi Mikanat Shnemasar Chodesh, if I don't come back within 12 months, meaning if I'm not back within a year, the get should be Chal right now, Umeis B'toch Shnemasar Chodesh, and then he doesn't come back within the year because he dies within the year. So he was Mekayim the Tanai of not returning within 12 months, but it was because of an onus. It was because of an onus Misa. So I raise a get. So that's a valid get because he said Mei Achshav. And therefore, meaning even though we have a klal, Ein Get Lachar Misa, that once a person dies, it's too late to get divorced. You can only get divorced while you're alive. Can't get divorced while you're dead. Over here, he said me'achshav. So the get was chal before he ever before he died. So it's not a chisaron of a get la'achar misa. So, but if Rava is correct that a tanai that's fulfilled machmas onus is not considered a kiyum atanai, amai b'menas itnis. Why would the get be chal over here? Yes, he was mekayim the tanai of not coming back within 12 months, but he was only mekayim that tanai ba'onus, and therefore it shouldn't be considered a kiyum atanai. So why is it that it's a reza get, that we say that it's a get? So the Tosfos points out that the kasha is not a kasha from our Mishnah on the Mishnah Maseches Gittin, because it's pashut to the Gemara that we can be more makil by nedarim, right? Meaning we don't just ask a direct stira from this Mishnah Gittin against our Mishnah about nidrei onsin, that apparently when it comes to nidrei onsin, we say that it is full, you know, chalahu or shchal beno ikvanar harelu nidrei onsin. How come that's not a direct stira to hareza get in Maseches Gittin? He says because it's understood that we're going to be more makil when it comes to nedarim than we will be when it comes to Gittin. How do I know we're more makel when it comes to nedarim? The whole parak is arba nedarim that are hutar me'aleihem. So we have all sorts of nedarim that we're makel about. So that wasn't the kasha. And that's why it's only to according to Rava, who compares our Mishnah to the din of Matvis Zuchuyosav, of going to Beis Din and saying, here's my Shtar Zuchuyos, and take this, and if I don't come back within 30 days, that we don't know of any known kulas. It's only once Rava made that equation, now we're asking from the Gemara in Gittin. So says the Gemara, Amri, the Gemara answers, maybe we could be mechalik between a get on the one hand, and Matvis Zuchuyosav on the other hand. Dilma, Shaini Asa, maybe Dafka by a get, even though the kiyum atanai was ba'onas, the get is going to be chal. De'i have a yada to miss, because if this guy knew that he was going to die within 12 months, min la'altar have a gomer v'yav gita. He for sure would have given the get without any tanai attached to it. He would have wanted to give the get right away, because his whole point in giving the get is that the wife should not require a yibum, since he doesn't have any children. But a guy who's matfis chiyosef, if he would know that an onus is going to happen, he would never have been mevat. Meaning by the case of the get, adraba, he wants this get to be chal, especially if he dies. That's the whole purpose of the get. He doesn't want to leave his wife in aguna. He doesn't want to leave his wife requiring chalitza. But in the case of Matvei Zuchuyosav, he's not especially interested in losing all of his zuchuyos on that land. So that's why perhaps it's different. So says the Gemara Vayter. The Gemara asks that a tainus onus doesn't work. According to Rava, the guy does not come back because of an onus. It's not a kiyum atanai. He does not lose his zuchuyos. So Maishna me'ahu damalu. Why is this any different than the famous case? It's famous because it's in all the yeshivas and masechtas in Ksubas and Gittin, the case where a guy gives a get to his wife and he says ilo asina mikan va'ad tlasin yom, and he says that to the eidei get that if I don't come within 30 days from now lahave gita, then let this get be chal. But if I do return within 30 days, then I don't want the get to be chal. I still want to be married when I come back, but I promise I'm coming back within 30 days. If I don't come back within 30 days, the get will be chal. Also, Paskim Abra, he intended to come back and he was right there, but then he just missed the boat, he missed the ferry that was going to bring him back to town. So Amar Lahu, he's screaming there on the other side of the river with a megaphone, Chazud Asai, I'm here, but he's not here, he's there, he's on the other side of the river. Vamar Shmuel, Lo Shmei Masya, Shmuel says, he's not here, he's there. So even though he's very close to being here, he hadn't arrived. And therefore, the Tanai was fulfilled. His Tanai was, if I don't come back within 30 days, Hitaka didn't come back within 30 days, and therefore the get is going to be chal. But it was because of an onus that he didn't come back. Apparently, the taina of onus does not prevent prevent the get from being chal. So according to Rava, who learns from our Mishnah, that if a person doesn't come back as a result of an onus, that that's not called the fulfillment of the Tanai. Amai, v'menas onus. Why is it that by a get, it is considered a fulfillment of the Tanai? After all, it was an onus, and apparently that's considered a fulfillment of the Tanai. So says Gemara, Dilma unsu demigal yashayni. Maybe an onus that's common, that everyone knows is likely to happen, is different from an onus that's totally uncommon. So an onus that's something that happens all the time, a person should have been mala aladas that it might happen, and he should have therefore included it as a tanai at the time of the nesinas haget. That if an onus like this happens, then I don't want the get to be chal. And since he did not make that a tanai, the get is going to be chal, even if as an onus, he did not come. But an onus that's not common at all, chaluhu, chalubno, people don't think of those things. It would never be ola aladas. Then he should not have had to make the tanai, that if it happens, he doesn't want to lose out on the zechuyos, and therefore he does not lose out on the zechuyos if such a type of onus happens. Umabra migli onse. The ferry boat, people miss a train all the time. People miss boats all the time. So that's considered migalia unse. That's considered to be an onus that is revealed. The Gemara also could have been mechalik, the Ran points out, between onus begitten and other onsin, based on what the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Ksubos, that min haTorah may be really yesh tainus onus begitten, that a tainus onus is good enough to prevent a get from being chal, just like in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's just that the Chacham made a takana that ain onus begitten, and therefore even if the tanai was fulfilled ba'onus, the get is going to be chal because of a gzeira mishum tsnuos and mishum prutzos. Meaning, if you actually read the rest of the sugya in the beginning of Ksubas, the Gemara explains that gitten is an exception to the rule because they had to make a special takana that there were tsnuos, there were some times that the Baal did not have an onus. He just decided not to come back. He found somebody else wherever he went off, and he was happy with his family there, so he decided not to come back. But his wife is such a tsnua that she's always choshesh that maybe an onus happened and maybe the get's not really chal. So we tell her, you know what? Even if an onus did happen, the get is chal. You're still free to remarry. Or mishum prutzo. Sometimes they'll find out that an onus happened, and everyone will know that an onus happened, but there are no eidim badavar that Beis Din to actually be able to mivatel the get. And his wife is such a prutzo, she says, no, I don't think it was an onus. I think he just is happily living somewhere else, and therefore I'm going to go get remarried. And maybe the husband is going to come lachar zman, and he's going to say, I was nanas, and the get is going to be batel mafreya. The children from the second husband are going to be mamzerim. So we say, you know what, forget onus or no onus, the get is chal. And that way, she's free to get remarried, and we're not going to have any problems of the husband arriving later. So those are all takanos midrabanan. So the Ran says, really, on a drabanan level, we could have just distinguished between get, which has these takanos drabanan, and other types of onus, where you don't have such takanos drabanan. So says the Gemara, Ul Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, even if he's nenas, and he doesn't come within 30 days, his zuchiyos are batal, michti asmachtahi. Well, wait a second, isn't this whole thing an asmachta? He goes and he gives all of his rayas to Beis, and he says, if I don't come back within 30 days, I lose all of these rayas. Obviously, he plans on coming back within 30 days. He's somich on his ability to show up, and that he's not going to lose this shtar. So, asmachta lo kanya, and the din is that an asmachta is not kona, because he doesn't have a real gemiras das to be makna. His plan is to be mekayim, his chayvus. And so why does he lose his zuchiyos according to Rav Huna? So it says, shayni hacha d'mitfasan zuchusan. That over here it's different, since he already took out the zuchiyos from his rishus and he gave them to somebody else, it's as if it's already, the shtaros were already collected, and he has gemiras das to be mevatel them. And even if b'derech klal, asmachta is not kona, in this case, asmachta is kona. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, even if you're matfis by somebody else, you bring whatever rights you have and you give it to a third party, do we then say that asmachta doesn't apply? No, that's one of the classic examples of asmachta. The mitvasan lava asmachti. Just because you take whatever you have rights to, you take your position of strength and and you give it to somebody, you give it to a third party, does that mean that it's not an asmachta? Vatanan, one of the classic examples of asmachta, misha para mitzvah chovo, a person who paid up part of the chov and he's not able to leave the shtar in the malva's hand so that the malva doesn't go collect what he's already paid. V'hishlish ashtaro, so he leaves the shtar in a third party's hands. Va'amar, and the lova says, im ein ani no sin lo mikanat shloshim yom, if I don't pay off the balance within 30 days, tein lo shtaro, I'm hereby giving you permission to return the shtar back to the malva. And it says I owe him $1,000. I already paid back $500. If I don't pay back the balance, if I don't pay back the $500 within 30 days, give the whole $1,000 shtar back to him and he'll be able to collect $1,000 again from me. So, if 30 days came and he has not yet paid up the balance, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yitein, Rabbi Yossi says, a deal's a deal. You can give the malva the shtar, even though the lova assumed that he would be able to pay back within 30 days. And that's why he said that if I don't pay back within 30 days, you can give the shtar back to the malva, and he'll be able to collect, because asmachta is kone. Rabbi Yudah Omer, lo yitein. But Rabbi Yudah says, no, don't give the shtar back to the malva. V'amrav nachman, amrav arvu amrav, ein alach Rabbi Yossi, domar asmachta, Kanya, that we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi holds asmachta Kanya, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that holds asmachta lo Kanya, that asmachta is not Kona. So this is a classic example of asmachta, and yet it's a case of hishlish eshtaro bi'al acher, that you gave the shtar to somebody else, and Rav holds that asmachta is not Kona. So it's a kasha and Rafuna. Why does he paskin against his Rebbe, against Rav, who was his Rebbe? So says Gemara, Shaini Hacha, Damer Levatlan Zichvasei. Now, by the guy that was Matvis Zichuyosu Bebezdin, if he says, if I don't bring Rayas within 30 days, then all my Zichuyos should become Batel, that's different, because he said that his Zichuyos will become Batel. He's Moda, that if he doesn't bring his Rayas in the end of 30 days, his Rayas are all Batel, because they're all Rayas Sheker. So we can't use them anymore to be Tovei Mammon, meaning it's as if he said Beferush that all of my Rayas are all a bunch of Sheker V'chazav, and therefore we're not going to be able to use such rayos. So how do we paskin when it comes to asmachta? V'hilchasa asmachta kanya. We paskin that asmachta is kona, and a person who is mechayiv himself to give something to somebody else, if I don't do a particular action, and in the end he doesn't do that action, the ischayivus is going to be chal. If he says, I'm going to lose my shtar zuchuyos if I don't bring rayos within 30 days, and then he doesn't come, so he loses shtar zuchuyos. However, the Gemara limits that in a certain sense. V'hu delo onis. That which asmachta is kona is dafka, that there was no onus that happened, that he just didn't fulfill what he said he would fulfill. But if the reason he was not able to fulfill his end of the bargain was because of an onus, then the other guy is not kona, because certainly he was never ola al das that an onus was going to happen. He never had it enter his mind that an onus would happen. And another limitation, vu dukanumine. You also have to make a kinyan from the mischayiv. Then, since you made a kinyan with a kinyan sudar that's going to be chal right now, so then it's not going to be an asmachta, because an asmachta is only shayich in the case where it's just a hischayivus to somebody else, and the kinyan is going to be chal later on. But if you already made the kinyan in advance, then it's not going to enter into the parsha of asmachta. And even if you don't say the kinyan should be chal right now, but it's bebezin chashuv, if you're maknet him in a bezin chashuv, that's also not considered an asmachta, because a person doesn't make a joke out of a bezin chashuv. So any kinyan in a bezin is considered to be a full hoda'ah, and it's as if you said beferish that the kinyan should be chal me'achshuv. What qualifies as a bezin chashuv? Every possible shita appears in Rishonim. The Ran writes, like the Beit Din of the Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yossi, the most chashuv batei din in the world. The Rambam writes, any Beis Din that has smicha. The Rush writes in them, Rabbeinu Meir, any Beis Din chashuv, meaning Talmid Chachamim that know that asmachta is not lokanya, and so we call hefker Beis Din hefker. The Mordechai and other Rishonim say Beis Din chashuv is whatever the Beis Din is in that city. It means the local Beis Din of the city, not just some ad hoc Beis Din, but it's whatever the local Beis Din is in that city. So this is a little bit about asmachta. A couple of other things that come up in the the course of this daf, of this discussion, when we talk about ones, so there's a question that comes up halacha lemaisa very often in terms of ones when it comes to an aveira. We spoke about linara losasa davar, so there's it came up unfortunately again recently. The Nesivos has a famous passage in Choshen Mishpas in Reish Lamed Daled that if a person violates an issur d'rabbanan b'shogeg, he doesn't require any kapara whatsoever. But the implication is that violates an issur d'oraisa b'shogeg, he absolutely requires kapara. So what about a person who violates an issur d'oraisa b'ones? A person relies on hashkacha and he eats at a restaurant over and over and over again and has a very reliable hashkacha, and then it turns out that they were eating nevelos and trefas the whole time. So that's a whole discussion. Do we say in such a case that ones is a taina that would say that he does not require kapara? And what about when it comes to kiyum mitzvos? It's a big discussion in poskim. Person got tefillin from the best sofer in the world, and then 3 years later he gets his tefillin checked for the first time, and they open up the shel rosh, and there are three parshios there. There are no four parshios there. So all the brachos of atala, does he need a kapara for? Is there some sort of kiyum mitzvah? Does he? Is there some sort of kapara that's necessary? So all of these types of discussions are based on this sugya of ones. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis.